freight train.
So how long did you work at the refinery for?
Only till November 39, and I had a deferment from the whatever age in previously in the year. There was a thing called conscription. I was 20 then. But eventually I was called out and put in the medics, and in November 39, and I joined the medical unit in Dorset, Bedminster in Dorset, and it was one of the divisions, the first division to go to France and Belgium, and the war had started then, so it became a train for war, and so I left in November in 39, and I was invalided out about 45. I had the option of going back to the refinery. They made my wages up all the war, which was pretty good, and you know, it was part of an agreement, but I did think that I had a year off after being invalided out. Thought, well, I'm going to forget the war and get back, you know, fit and whatnot. And so I fished and played around here for a year, but I decided not to go back to the refinery. I spoke to them, and I was offered jobs after that, but I'd made my mind up. I thought, do I need to go back to shift work and things? So basically, and in 47, I started to look after the birds on the bird sanctuary, not in a semi-official capacity, because I found a man there taking eggs of terns, and I was rather dismayed. And so I spoke to Beauty about it, and from then on I just kept my eye on it, and then it became an official thing. And so I became a warden. I've wardened ever since, only in the summer months. Well, from March 1st to July 31st. But I've looked after it the rest of the year, because at a particular time in 81, Seagull Island as such was classified as a forbidden area for 12 months of the year, excepting for prawning for the local people, not to go on the island, but to go at low water under the banks, because it's a closed area to low water mark, to average low water spring. But I got the government and the authorities to have it, so all the local people go prawning in August, once the birds are finished breeding. So every August, I spoke about it yesterday to Bob Lord. Have you met him, have you? English nature, he's our overall warden of the area. Yeah, I spoke to him on the phone this morning. We've got a meeting on Friday with all the voluntary. I'm classified as a voluntary warden now. I was a honorary warden, in which case they supplied me with a boat and an honorarium. £200 per annum, you know, so that I didn't get broke. But now I'm too old, so they can't insure me, so I provide my own boats and gear, and I said I'll warden it for them. I can see everything from here, and you see these things. I've got one upstairs, the same.
Telescope.
Yeah, like a telescope, yeah. They're actually prismatic glass, but they're the same as a telescope, yeah. But then I can see everything from here. Now, I do patrol and I fish a lot, so I'm always around doing things.
So, you say you spoke to Bewley, you spoke to Lord Montague owns the island, doesn't he?
Well, he owns that area, yeah, sure. At Needsall Beach. That is encompassed in it's called the North Solent National Nature Reserve, which encompasses Needsall Beach, Seagull Island, and parts of the river. And it's controlled by a management committee, including the estate and English Nature, which is Nature Conservancy Council. Yeah.
So they offered you the job as warden?
Well, when they came in English Nature 15 years ago, but 40 odd years ago, I became warden here with Bewley's permission, and you know, to look after the seabirds, and I've done it every summer since, except one summer my son did it. I went on pilotage. I did pilotage always in September on the Isle of Wight for a contracting company to Trinity House, but I had an option on buying it, and this particular year the Royal Society of Protection of Birds closed or put an embargo on taking the eggs. But of course, without taking the eggs of the gold, I had no income, you see. So I said, well, I'm going to buy this business. My son did it. There was no eggs, but he just wardened it. My eldest son, sorry. And so, but I did the job for a year. And, it was 24 hours a day, and I would have become single-handed, and that wasn't any good, so I got out of it. Then I came back, and the next year I did the same thing. And I've done it ever since, yeah.
So you used to collect the eggs yourself, did you?
Yeah, oh, always. Yeah, well, I collect the eggs. I tell you why we do it. It's done by agreement now. It's all under control by the Minister of the Environment, so that the the visiting birds are there, and they are indigenous to here, but they go way into it, to the tern colonies, which we have several tern species. Well, we take the gull eggs so that the gulls can incubate and become aggressive for 3 weeks, roughly 3 weeks, sometimes four, until the sandwich terns, which are the first of the terns to start breeding. Once they're established, we have to stop. It's all done under license from the ministry, and it's a specific operation, but the remuneration from the sale of the eggs pays for my boats, my petrol, my telephone, my car, whatever I have to use, because sometimes I have to drive, there's a storm, I have to drive around. But basically it's worked over most of the years. Some years I've been broke. Well, initially I was broke every year because I ran a boatyard and did other things to pay for it. I didn't make any money. No. It's only in recent years it's been enough to cover what my expenses.
From the sale of the eggs?
Yeah, from the sale of the eggs, yeah.
And who do you sell them to?
They go to London. They all go to London, yeah. They're marketed correctly, and the people who market them have to have a license, and the people who sell them. They may only be taken and sold for food, that is the law. They may not be used, the shells may not be moved for collections or anything, you know. Which, you know, it would set up a precedent. Now that would mean people would take them for anything. So, but of course the tern eggs may not be taken, or any other species. It's only the black-headed gull which is permitted, but it is traditionally over centuries has been used as food. Although the bigger gulls, the eggs were always used as food. The lesser blackback and the blackback and the herring gull. They're beautiful eggs to eat, but of course the authorities have now restricted those. People used to go down cliffs to pick them up for food. I mean, they only did it for so long, and then they allowed them to breed because nearly all seabirds will continue laying several clutches, you see. They're almost like chickens. These black-headed gulls will, because in nature they get washed out sometimes. Even after I've finished, I've had them all completely washed out, and then they've had to lay again. And I mean, they do, nature has its own way of recuperating.
So how many species of birds would you say you look after?
On there, I would say, well, particular species, I would say 8 to 10, but they are all seabirds. Yeah. But
what are they?
Well, there are, I would say there's 4 species of tern. There's the black-headed gull. The big gulls aren't looked after here. We don't want their predators, and we have to move them, although a lot of them here are non-breeders, unfortunately, of the bigger gulls. But then we have oyster catchers and ring plovers, little ring plovers, waders, these are waders, yeah, and a few other birds. And there are other species around, but they don't involve me so much as, I mean, on the land or closely. We do get buntings, reed buntings, and sedge warblers. They're in specific areas they are, but then they're all birds are protected by laws, and since the 81 Wildlife and Countryside Act, and all are controlled, and all the activities of persons, even in a person's garden, to have certain species there is an offence to go near it and disturb it. You know, many of our Schedule 1 birds. There are various schedules governing.
I'm just going to stop this side of it to turn the